Dr. Keith Suter.
And this week will mark 500 days of war in Ukraine, an incredible milestone for those who've been following the battle with Russia from the very beginning, but more significantly, of course, for those who have lived through it in the Ukraine. Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions joins me this afternoon. Hello, Keith. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Brent.
500 days, Keith, my goodness me, when this first started, I know that you were one of the first people we spoke to and you said this was going to be a long war, not a short war, and you were right, but at the start of this, I don't believe we thought it would be 500 days later you and I'd be talking about it with still no end in sight.
Exactly, and of course, Putin, when he talked about what he called this special military operation, said it'll all be over and done within 10 days. So he really got that wrong. He expected the Russian forces to move very quickly into Ukraine, particularly Kyiv, the capital city, and they would be welcomed as liberators. And he got it all wrong. The problem has been that the attack failed because the Russians overestimated their own ability of their military. One of the problems for them is that the Russians are fighting a very old style of fighting, which is now really out of date. So the traditional Russian style is as you pile in all of your troops and you just roll right over the top of the enemy. But this time round, the enemy is also using smart technology. They're also have followed the modern trends whereby instead of relying on the generals at the top, you empower people much lower down in the workforce, particularly around the level of being corporals and other non-commissioned officers. They are now the backbone of a modern infantry force. And the Russians are just out of date. They're running a top-heavy bureaucratic invasion. Meanwhile, of course, the Ukrainians all came together to oppose the Russians. So although they were badly divided for the years leading up to the invasion, they suddenly all came together to oppose the Russians. So although they may not get on well with themselves, they all agree that they're not going to be subdued by the Russians. And I think also another factor is that Putin underestimated NATO. He assumed that NATO was on the way out. Remember, President Emmanuel Macron himself has said that NATO was brain dead a few years ago. And yet the North Atlantic Treaty Organization has been given fresh life and also fresh membership. So two traditionally neutral countries have both applied to join. Finland has been accepted and Sweden is being considered at the moment. There are domestic political issues to be borne in mind with Sweden. So that was another failure on the part of Putin. He's actually breathed extra life into a very old alliance that we figured really should have been wound up in 1991 when the Soviet Union collapsed and the Cold War ended. But instead, NATO is back in business. So there are a number of reasons why the invasion has failed, and the long-term solution, I think, ultimately will be some sort of Russian defeat. They're certainly not going to achieve what they set out to do 500 days ago, which was a very swift taking of Kyiv and most of Ukraine.
Because of the old style of fighting the Russians are used to, is it fair to say, when faced with what Ukraine is doing, the Russian army are really learning on the job? Relearning, if you like, yeah. On the job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the Russian force is corrupt. There's very low morale. And it's worth bearing in mind the old phrase that armies don't go to war, nations go to war, and the army only shoots the bullets. In other words, that in order to win a war, you need to unite everybody, not just have a big military force, but you've got to have civilians behind you. So there's also the whole information battle, et cetera, that's going on. So you see President Zelensky visiting the troops on the front line and meeting with other leaders around the world, whereas Putin, by contrast, is hardly seen in public. And we had, of course, that show by Putin in another part of the old Russian Empire just, almost 2 weeks ago. And I think he was actually using a body double. You know, the way that he was hugging people, he would never do that. You know, when anybody who gets, no one's allowed to get near him for fear either of shooting him or giving him COVID.
Right.
So he's employed a body double for that media exercise. And it was just such a fake activity, whereas Zelensky clearly is mobilizing the civilians in Ukraine. And so the Ukrainians as a nation are fighting the Russians. Meanwhile, the Russian army itself just feels disconnected from its own population. It's drawn from the less developed areas of the Russian Empire. So they're actually people who are nominally Russian, but actually of different ethnicities. They're there. A lot of them couldn't even find Ukraine on a map. If you gave them a map, a lot of them didn't know they were going off to war. So the Russian side has been an absolute shambles. So you're right when you say the Russians are learning on the job, and I think they're failing on the job as well.
A statistic that's come out in recent days, not a good statistic, but a statistic of war and wars. A recent poll has found that 80% of Ukrainians have had a family member or a friend killed or injured in this war.
Yeah, and that's what mobilizes them to continue to fight. You know, it's a thing that this is not new. If you look back at World War II, the Germans carry out a blitz on London that made the British even more determined to keep fighting the Germans. And then, of course, when the British later on responded with their mass bombing raids, So that sort of galvanized the Germans into supporting Hitler. So this, you know, for me, it's just amazing how, particularly in Russia, that the military is so out of touch with what we know already. None of this is rocket science. It's all fairly straightforward if you follow warfare. But the Russian generals have been busy looting the army. They're all very wealthy, and they're really not paying too much attention to the modern nature of warfare.
Keith, what does a win in this look like for Russia? And I suppose, what does a win in this look like for Ukraine?
Well, in the case of Russia, it'll be taking over control of Ukraine with a view to probably then going on to Poland and then the Baltic states. Remember, Putin's grand vision is to reunite the Russians under Moscow's control. That's not going to happen. So I'm not sure where the Russians think they're going to go in terms of their vision. Ukraine, by contrast, has a very clear picture of what it wants to achieve. It wants to liberate all of the area that has been taken in the struggle, which began in 2014. So this is already a nine-year-old war. We tend to forget that the Russians gobbled up a bit of Crimea and a bit of the eastern side of Ukraine almost a decade ago. So this has been a protracted conflict, and the Ukrainians under Zelensky want to get back all of that territory. Now, whether they'll be able to achieve that, who knows? The counteroffensive which they've launched against the Russians is going slowly. It's making progress, but not at a particularly fast rate. And, of course, Putin's only hope of saving anything out of this struggle is to let it drag on again. Remember, it's gone on for 9 years already. Let it drag on and ultimately have Western countries just simply say, you know, this is we're not going to continue. We can't continue. We've spent all our ammunition. It's becoming too expensive. And therefore force Ukraine to agree to some sort of compromise whereby Russia gets eastern Ukraine and perhaps Crimea. And so what we're doing then is creating a North Korean solution. If you think back to the war in Korea, 1950-1953, the war has ended with a ceasefire. There's still no peace treaty, with the north controlling part of the country and the south controlling another part of the country. So that could happen with Ukraine. So particularly the area east of the Dnieper River will be controlled by the Russians. I don't think that's a good way of resolving the conflict. In fact, it isn't. It's just simply literally a ceasefire. And we would have the same problem with the Ukrainians and the Russians. That would continue one way or another their struggle.
All right, Keith, I have to leave it there today. As always, we thank you for taking the time to speak with us. And we look forward to talking to you again. Have a good weekend, Keith.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions.